And then the body is sending messages to the brain, like, you're not safe. There's danger coming, whether that's perceived or real. Yeah. So then it's this vicious loop. It's like the brain, body, and that's where we tend to spiral, right?
Right.
So because, though, it is such a body-based issue, I am a strong believer that the solution needs to be body-based. So we can't use the brain or the mind to think our way out of anxiety.
Welcome back to another episode of Unstarved, a podcast to help you take ownership of what you are hungry for in life. In a world where we've been groomed to restrict and deny ourselves of what we want and need most, here we reclaim our desire to be satisfied physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. My name is Emily. I'm a coach, nutritionist, and insatiable learner. Here, I share content and interview guests that touch on topics such as gentle nutrition, body positivity and acceptance, mental health and mindset, relationships, emotional intelligence, healing, self-care, and more. I upload every single Wednesday, so if you enjoy this podcast, please remember to subscribe on your preferred platform so you never miss any future episodes. To connect with me, you can shoot me an email, follow me on Instagram at emily.unstarved, or use the link in the show notes to work with me for one-on-one coaching. I do meet with all of my clients remotely, so wherever you happen to be in the world, we can connect. Hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. I'm in a really good mood. I just had a really lovely interview with Valerie Scagliola, who is a certified breathing coach, and she's based in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is fun because she's close to me. And she helps her clients to improve their physical, mental, and emotional well-being with the healing power of the breath. She draws on a collection of somatic-based healing modalities and guides them to release stored emotions and regulate their nervous systems. Her approach is a unique blend of pranayama, therapeutic breathing, gentle movement, and self-discovery, and her passion lies in creating a safe haven for people to be seen, let go, and heal. And she and I really dive into a lot of different areas of wellness, but how it all ties back to the power of the breath. Specifically, I think it was really interesting to talk to her about how emotions are stored in the body, the importance of feeling and releasing stored emotions using somatic practices for our well-being, why we need fight or flight, and why it's also important to learn how to change our state from fight or flight back to a relaxed state by using these tools that strengthen our nervous system that really anyone can use at any point in their breathwork journey. So if you struggle with anxiety, if you struggle with, you know, just stress and just need something new for your toolbox, or whether you're a seasoned, you know, seasoned in breathwork, I think you'll get a lot out of this conversation. And I know that I certainly did. So I'm going to go ahead and get into it. I hope you guys enjoy. All right, Valerie, thank you so much for hanging out with me here. I'm super stoked to nerd out with you about the vagus nerve and breath work because I'm excited to learn from you, first of all, because I could do it so much more and I could probably be a lot more consistent with it. And I'm looking forward to hearing about, you know, what you can share about that. So in looking at your content on social media and on your website, I think that your story about how you got into this is so, like, I think so many people would resonate with it so deeply. So I was hoping that you could kind of like share a little bit about, you know, how did you get into this work and why you do it?
Yeah. First of all, thank you so much for having me. I am very excited to nerd out and talk about all these, all things breath work and somatic work as well. So it's going to be fun. So yeah, a little bit about my story is a few years ago. So it was really like in the middle of the pandemic. I was working full time from home with my two kids who were distance learning at the time. And my stress levels were at an all time high. It was just, you know, too much, too soon. And I think a lot of people can resonate with that, right? There was just so much, you know, fear and stress happening in our lives. And I've had anxiety for many years, never properly dealt with it. And it just came to a point where it was like, you know, unbearable. Yeah. And so I started kind of doing some research to figure out, like, you know, how can I help myself? What can I do for this without, you know, going to medication, you know, something that's more natural and holistic. So I've always dabbled in yoga. And so that was like where my mind first went. I'm like, okay, well, I need to kind of settle my body and mind and try yoga and meditation. So I started, you know, practicing yoga at home more regularly. And something about like when teachers would say like focus on your breath really stuck with me. And I really started to pay more attention to it. And there was something there. So I, you know, started looking up like breathing techniques and exercises to do. And I found a couple of techniques that really just seemed to melt my stress away. Like it was magical. Oh, and yeah. And so I really noticed, you know, something is really here. And so I started to just look more and more into this. I bought a bunch of books on breath work and breathing. And I took a couple of courses. And then I came across this certification to become a breathwork coach. And I was just like, what is a breathwork coach? Like, what even is that? But there was something that drew me to it. And so I decided just to go for it. And this is where I learned, you know, like the foundations of the breath, why it works, how it connects to the nervous system, like why these techniques actually change the way that we feel. And how to help others through that. And so going through it on my own and seeing how effective it was for me, was life changing. And then, and there was just like something that lit up within me that knew I wanted to help other people with this too, because, you know, friends, family, like it seemed like everyone I know is dealing with some kind of, you know, stress, anxiety, pent up emotions, things like that. So, anyhow, so that kind of brought me to where I am today. I decided to, you know, start my own business and help others and, put together, I learned a lot of, you know, breath work techniques, but also like somatic techniques. So meaning other ways of moving the body to, you know, ground and to release emotions and to just really connect the mind and body. And so I've put together offerings that now reflect kind of all of that. And so I work with clients to help them through whatever their challenges might be using body-based techniques. And it has just been so amazing to connect with people and help them.
I can so imagine that, especially during this time that we're in. And I mean, it's everybody. There's not a single person that wasn't affected by the pandemic in one way or another. And kind of like what you were saying, how, you know, you've dealt with anxiety your whole life and it kind of felt like maybe it crescendoed a bit for you during the pandemic. And it's kind of like, I think inevitably most of us do hit that point where it's like, I can't keep existing in this same way. Like I have to do something because this is not sustainable. And that's usually where we finally like surrender to a solution, you know? And that's like, you know, I've had moments like that in my life too. And I think it's so, you know, just thinking about how like, wow, so the answer has been lying in our body this entire time.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And like there's such a tendency, I think, to overcomplicate wellness. And I think that's triggered, I think, a lot by social media, because we do have so much information coming at us all the time of like how to be well. Yeah. And really, like, you know, there have been people for like thousands of years that have known the secret. And it's just about returning to the breath. And I love that too. And I was kind of, you know, that word somatic, I think, is starting to become, you know, very trendy. You're hearing it a lot in the wellness space now, but I don't know if most people, and me included, are like fully clear on exactly what that means. Like when someone says somatic healing, like what does that actually mean? What's going on there?
Yeah. So I'm glad that you bring that up. I do think it's kind of a buzzword right now, and it's kind of fuzzy, right? So people don't know exactly what it means, but it's basically in the body. So soma is the body. Mm-hmm. So these different practices we can do to get into the body. So helping, it's sort of like getting out of the mind and into the body, but then also connecting the mind and body.
Yes.
So, a lot of different things can be somatic. So, you know, almost all breath work is somatic, but then there's a certain kind of breath work that's labeled as somatic. And there's different, you know, practices like grounding techniques that we can do to get into the body to feel centered. Mm-hmm. So that's really what it's all about.
But no, yeah, that was really clear.
Does that help?
It does. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty straightforward, just, you know, within the body. You know, it's something that, you know, when I work with clients and helping them to really hear their hunger cues and like feel their fullness cues, a lot of the struggles around that is just that they're existing in like those like upper energy levels, like they're kind of like higher chakras. They're not really in the body, which is where they feel those sensations, you know? So sometimes people say like, I just never feel hungry. And it's like, it's not that you don't feel hungry. You're just not aware of the feeling of hunger. You haven't like gotten into the body. And, you know, of course, like anxiety and stress are things that kind of keep us like in the mind as well. So I like this because I feel like you're putting like a like more depth of vocabulary into things that I've experienced with myself and with clients too. And I'm sure that a lot of people have experienced. And, you know, I think that for people who struggle with those things, like learning to get into the body through these somatic practices and breath work can be a really great starting point. And of course, that's just one benefit, right? of doing that work is that you can kind of tap into your needs more.
And to your point about, you know, feeling hunger cues or things like that, like every emotion we have and it exists somewhere in the body. So emotions are energy in motion. So it takes some practice to really tap into the body because, you know, sadness, like you feel that somewhere specifically in your body.
Yeah.
Anger, you feel that somewhere else specifically in your body. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's some people have a hard time connecting to that somatic perspective is like, you know, I have a hard time feeling emotions, so then I'm not going to feel where that is in my body. Well, then you're not going to be able to heal that. It's being buried somewhere, and it's going to cause more stress and energy blockages, and like sickness, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of the root of all illness is some kind of stress in the body.
Yeah. And also too, we can't selectively numb, right? If we're numbing sadness and numbing grief and numbing anger, we can't just numb those things. We're also being numb to joy and vitality and, 100%. You know, and there's so much fear around feeling emotions. And it's interesting though, because like when we become more confident in that process of feeling our emotions and like tapping into the body and allowing it, we realize that they move through our system actually very quickly. Mm-hmm. We don't, you know, I think that there's a lot of fear of spiraling. And I think there are some cases, especially with like, you know, really acute trauma where you should be careful and make sure that you're doing it safely. But I think in so many cases, like, you know, especially for women, and I don't want to overgeneralize, but I know that a lot of women, we suppress our anger and there's so much power in the anger, you know? And you're reminding me, like years and years ago, I did this type of body work where she basically would push on certain parts of my body to release specific emotions. And it was like the first time I ever became like very acutely aware that different emotions are stored in different places of the body. Yeah. It was like a really powerful, very cathartic experience. Yeah, it's funny. I haven't actually thought about that in a really long time. But yeah, it's really, and I think that, you know, sometimes I think that when people hear that emotions are stored in the body, I don't know if they are like fully realizing how visceral it really is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like a wishy-washy, like, oh, they're in the body. You know, it's like, it's literal, you know?
Literal. Like, if you think about, when you're stressed out, where do you feel tense? And most people will say, I feel it in my shoulders. I feel it in my neck, and my neck is really stiff. And a lot of people walk around with their shoulders like up near their ears, right? Mm-hmm. So that is exactly where you're storing tension and you're storing emotions.
Yeah.
It's where you're feeling that tension. And I don't think everyone really makes that connection. That contributes to headaches. So like, people get stress headaches, and that's why. Another area is the hips. So especially with women, we carry a lot of emotions and tension in the hips. And that's why, you know, we have trouble kind of opening the hips and discomfort there. But yeah, there's a lot of points and areas in the body where we feel tension, and you know, you may not associate that with like an emotion or with stress, but that's what's happening.
Our
bodies tense up because we're in sympathetic fight or flight mode, and mm-hmm. that's what our body's designed to do, is like prepare us for danger, so our muscles like tense up. But then when that happens all the time and it's like a chronic tensing and a chronic pain, that's where we get like, you know, like, oh, I have lower back issues. Well, what does that really stem from, right? Yeah. So it just makes you think about all that.
Yeah. I was going to ask you too, like, you know, I've seen things out there that say like, if you have a sore neck, it means that, or like if your shoulders are tense, it means that you're carrying too much responsibility. If your lower back is tense, like, do you think that that is over general? Like, or is there some merit to that where like kind of universally people can say like, if I'm experiencing this pain, it must mean this? Or do you feel like it kind of varies from person to person?
Yeah, I mean, both. I think it can vary from person to person, but mm-hmm. in my experience and working with clients, those generalizations are usually pretty spot on.
Yeah.
So yeah, like you said, with the neck and the shoulders, it's like the burden of responsibility. It's being mm-hmm. overwhelmed. Which a lot of us can relate with. And that's why so many of us do feel, pain and tension in that area.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, people ask me about the chest because they feel like when they're anxious, they feel this constriction or tightening and discomfort in the chest. And it feels like, you know, hard to breathe. Yeah. So that can be associated with the lung area. And that can be, the lungs are associated with grief and unprocessed grief. Mm. It could also be like coming from the throat chakra. So, you know, not really speaking your truth. So all of these areas can kind of tense up and make us feel uncomfortable in those areas. But I think, you know, again, yeah, it's different from person to person, but mm-hmm. in my experience, these like different areas that are associated with different types of emotions seem to hold pretty true.
Yeah. It completely makes sense. And I feel like when we really know that and learn it, we can see the body as like a messenger to us instead of,
because all the time.
Yeah. And I think it's so easy, especially when we're in pain, especially chronic pain, to see the body almost as like a saboteur. Like it's trying to like ruin us. It's not listening to us. Like it's not behaving the way we want it. Mm-hmm. You know, but so often it's the opposite. It's actually trying to work with us. It's trying to communicate all the time.
Yeah, you know? And our body and our emotions and where we feel things, all messengers mm-hmm. trying to, you know, just tell us to listen. And even though feelings of anxiety and the symptoms that we feel are so uncomfortable and are frustrating, it is telling us like where in our life something might not be aligned or, yeah. You know, might be something that where we need to make a change. And so like all these, if we can really tune in and mm-hmm. listen, they're all little messages for us. And, and we just have to, you know, not only listen, but take action.
Like, yeah. That's the tricky part, right? Is like taking action sometimes, you know, because sometimes I think that we get messages that we don't necessarily want to hear, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, I'm carrying the weight of the world, but if I'm going to relieve myself of that, I'm going to have to set boundaries. I'm going to have to make some changes. I might have to like piss some people off, you know, like there's so many things that go into that, you know? And I think that just opening up that pathway of like dedicating ourselves to ourselves mm-hmm. It can be challenging, but it's so much more worthwhile in the end. I kind of like going back to, you know, the anxiety piece and how, mm-hmm. you know, you were really struggling with anxiety your whole life and you discovered, you know, through yoga, you kind of found breath work. Like, you know, can you talk a little bit about what anxiety is? Because I feel like that is like the universal struggle. I think mm-hmm. so many people struggle with anxiety and that kind of anxiety depression cycle mm-hmm. where we're so anxious that eventually our body just shuts down and then we're depressed because we need that rest from it. And then it kind of, you know, triggers more anxiety because we don't feel as productive and things like that. At least that's where mm-hmm. I feel like where my mental health has struggled the most in the past. It's been like that kind of cycle. And I think a lot of people have that same struggle. So like, in what ways is like, what is anxiety exactly in the body? Like, what is going on there? And I'm also curious about how it relates to the vagus nerve, because I think that a lot of people are hearing about the vagus nerve for a lot of great reason. So I'm sorry if I made that question really complicated, but like, how does that all tie in together?
Sure. So anxiety is partly in the mind and partly in the body, right? So mm-hmm. we tend to get, I feel like anxiety is usually about either ruminating over the past or worrying about the future.
Yeah.
So it's one of those two things. And the way we can really come out of it is to be present. Mm-hmm. So in the present moment, usually you are safe. And when you can connect to the breath to help you bring into the present moment, we can really help anxiety dissipate. Yeah. But it's a lot of like being in the past or worrying about the future. So then our mind goes there and we start to ruminate, or we start the loop, and then we start to feel like sensations in the body mm-hmm. because we're really, when you're experiencing anxiety and worry, you're in sympathetic fight or flight, right? Mm-hmm. So then we start to feel the heart racing. We start to feel sweaty, shaking. Our breath becomes really shallow and really fast. Some people explain or describe it as like your skin is crawling, right? So it's this really uncomfortable feeling.
Yeah.
And it's different for everyone. Some things can be more pronounced than others. Mm-hmm. But so then it's a body-based problem, right? So it may have originated in the mind, but then it's in the body. And then the body is sending messages to the brain, like, you're not safe. There's danger coming, whether that's perceived or real. Yeah. So then it's this vicious loop. It's like the brain, body. Mm-hmm. And that's where we tend to spiral, right?
Right.
So, because though it is such a body-based issue, I am a strong believer that the solution needs to be body-based. Mm-hmm. So we can't use the brain or the mind to think our way out of anxiety.
It's right. It only like makes it worse usually.
Yeah. So, that's why like somatic techniques like breath work and, other kinds of movement really help to, alleviate or soothe anxiety, because we're using the body to send messages to our brain that we're safe, everything's okay, the body can calm down. And breath work is really my favorite, modality to use here, because you can work directly with your nervous system. So mm-hmm. when you're in fight or flight, you can choose certain breathwork techniques that can move you into rest and digest parasympathetic mode pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Just by, you know, extending the breath, making it slower. So, that just can shift us pretty quickly. It does take some practice, right, to strengthen the nervous system and to help the nervous system become more flexible. Because what you want to be able to do is to move in and out of these nervous system states easily.
Right.
So we need fight or flight to survive, right? We need it to like mobilize and motivate and actually do things in our life. So it's mm-hmm. not the enemy, but when we get into that state unnecessarily, because we're worrying about something or we're thinking about something that happened, we want to be able to pretty easily move into rest and digest. And that happens by strengthening the nervous system. So I'll talk a little bit about the vagus nerve here, because this ties in to the parasympathetic nervous system. So the vagus nerve is the longest nerve in our body, and it starts at our brain and goes all throughout the body. There's little branches everywhere. And it affects all of our major organs. So it affects our digestion, our breathing, our heart rate, and things like that. So there's a lot of different ways you can stimulate or activate your vagus nerve. And when you do that, you're activating your parasympathetic nervous system. This nerve is the main component of that nervous system. So when you activate it, you're able to, again, you send a message to your brain that your body is safe and it's okay for you to recover and calm down and come into more slowness and peace. Yeah. So there are a lot of different breathwork techniques that can activate it. There's because it runs through like the throat and the ears. There's different like pressure points and other like somatic techniques that you can use to activate it. And then you'll start to notice coming out of that fight or flight state. So some things you might notice are like yawning or sighing or swallowing. So these are all signs of like shifting into a parasympathetic nervous system state, kind of hitting reset on your nervous system, if you will.
Yeah. You know, when you were talking about like the indications of going it back into parasympathetic, like the yawning, I do emotional freedom technique with clients. And it's funny how I know when something shifted, because they suddenly will get a little bit spacey. You know, they'll start to yawn a little bit. Yeah. And that's when I know like, okay, we've shifted. This is good.
This is working.
Yeah. It's, that's what I think is so cool, is like, we can kind of reverse engineer a different mood through the body. Like, as you said, like the anxiety might start in the mind, but we can stop it through the body. And then eventually it'll send the message to the mind that we're safe and all is well. Yeah. Cause there is a point, like you said, like, and I think that, you know, we hear fight or flight, and I think most people just see it as something that's really bad now, but it's true. We do need that to stay motivated in our life. And sometimes it is alerting us to something that is dangerous in our life, whether it be a toxic relationship or a job that is, you know, just wearing us to the ground. Like, we need those, you know, but it's really hard to take action from that place that's going to be effective to solve the problem, you know? So it's kind of like, we need that indicator, but if we're going to take action that works, we need to also be in a grounded place and be able to do that, you know, because it's kind of, I was talking about this in a previous episode too, where it's just with like emotional regulation, you know, and if we can learn to come to a grounded place, that like, that's the kind of thing that's going to prevent us from saying those things in the heat of anger that we can't take back. You know, the things that can really harm our lives and harm our relationships can. So like, this is where I think like doing this work is such a valuable thing to know how to do, because the ripple effect on so many areas of life, it's kind of immeasurable. Like, it could, there's in so many ways it could benefit us.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, we talk a lot about, or you hear people say, you know, take a deep breath, right?
Yeah,
and it sounds so cliche, and it's like, well, does that really work? And it does, right? If you know, like, the right thing to do, like, taking one deep breath is probably not going to help you. It actually, will spike your heart rate and does not calm you down. But if you take three deep breaths, right? Or, you know, you count to 10. I mean, you're joking, but like, there's a lot of value in that, especially when it comes to, like, to your point, saying something that you may regret in the heat of the moment, right? Like, how many times do we're just so quick to react versus respond? And I think really being in connection with the body and the breath, and knowing like when you're starting to feel triggered about something, and having that practice in place, like, okay, like I feel these sensations in my body, I'm getting triggered, I need to do this X practice that really helps me. So that could be like a breathing technique where it could be very quick, but you just take a moment and kind of bring yourself back into the moment, the body, and like, how do I want to respond versus react?
Yeah.
That's been a game changer with me, with my two kids, is, you know, trying to do the whole gentle parenting thing. And, you know, in my childhood, I was usually reprimanded and there was a lot of yelling in my house, right? So I can see myself like going very quick to that solution when I'm trying to solve something with my kids. But yeah. for myself, I have learned that doesn't work.
Yeah.
So, you know, just to be more mindful of all that, but using the breath to yeah. really pause and just like bring yourself back to the body. And then you can, we always have control over how we respond to things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so empowering actually to realize that is that we can control our reactions and our responses. Mm-hmm. And we can control what we can control.
Yes. We can't
control like how our children are behaving or external circumstances, but we can always control mm-hmm. our own behavior. And I think the breath has brought me much closer to that.
It's funny because I feel like we, in our efforts to, like, if we don't feel in control within ourselves, that's usually when we will expel an incredible amount of energy trying to control everything else that's out of our control.
Yeah.
You know, and totally. It's such a, and then we're exhausted, like completely right. depleted. And yeah. we wonder why we're feeling numb. We're feeling, you know, just off. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of, it's like our focus gets really misguided in that way.
Yeah. Agreed.
You know? And I think also too, just like bringing, I think you bring up a good point too, where, you know, truthfully, like so much of our nervous system and so much of who we are as people is formed in those first like years of life. Mm-hmm. And I think it can be really helpful for people if they're like looking into themselves and looking into their patterns around their reactions to things. Like, mm-hmm. I think, you know, how we were raised can really like form those responses and like give us some guidance or just give us like a goalpost of like, okay, like I know that this is probably going to be my default because it's like mm-hmm. the first experience I had. Yeah. So, but I can choose to respond differently. And
yeah,
it's a,
we can choose to break those cycles,
mm-hmm. break yeah.
those patterns and, start a new pattern for, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is.
Right. And that's the thing is like, what's so cool about living in the age that we live in now, you know, with all of its issues, with all of the issues that come from social media and the internet, I also think it's really amazing because we have access to information that no previous generations did as far mm-hmm. as like how to feel better, you know, like these aren't things that are taught in schools. They're not taught, you know, unless you seek out higher education specifically in these areas. But even then it's for the longest time, like these types of things didn't come out in those higher education either. So like, you know, just yeah. like breath work and things like that. You know, we have the tools now where previous generations didn't. And that's a luxury that we have.
It is. And I love mm-hmm. that. I love, you know, I think breath work is getting to be, kind of, it's gaining popularity, right? So it's, mm-hmm. it's everywhere and it's kind of a buzzword, but
yeah,
it's a good thing. It's, like we're learning this amazing tool that we have access to within ourselves. It's our own power. And I think they're starting to bring it more mainstream they're starting to teach it in school.
Yeah.
I have like a couple of my kids' teachers have taught them breathing exercises and they start their day with that. Or like one of my kids is really into theater and their voice coach or the choreographer, they start out with breathing techniques. And it's like, yes, like you're mm-hmm. teaching our children like the foundations of how to be in control of your body and your mind and that connection and like how powerful just knowing how to breathe properly or doing a certain technique can have on your outcome, whether it's theater or, you know, taking a math test, right?
Yeah.
So I love it in that way that it's becoming more mainstream and, you know, even, you know, they're even doing more research and studies around it and showing how like breath work is more effective than meditation and things like that.
Oh, really? That's really interesting. Because I think that's great news for people because I think meditation feels pretty daunting to a lot of people as a practice, you know?
Totally. Yeah.
And I mean, even I'm sort of a seasoned meditator. I've been meditating for a really long time, but I go through periods where it's just like, it's just not what I feel like doing right now. Like you know, and feeling like I have to force it, I feel is counterproductive. Mm-hmm. So But, you know, breath work feels, that feels so actionable, you know?
Yeah.
There's exactly. No pressure to like get in the zone or any of that. It's just like, you can just do it. And can you speak a little bit more about that? Do you know?
Totally. So I would love to. Yeah. So I think especially for people who are experiencing high stress or anxiety, the thought of sitting alone with your thoughts is like so painful and sounds like a nightmare. Like that's the last thing you want to do. And I think people have, you know, misconceptions about what meditation is too. Like thinking you have to force yourself to clear your mind. And that's not really what it's about. It's more about like noticing the thoughts and then letting them go. And there are lots of different kinds of meditation out there. Breath work is a form of meditation. It's just we're focusing on the breath instead of other techniques. And so technically, breath work is meditation, but a lot of people, like you said, find it more actionable. It's more accessible because you're counting the ratio of your inhales and your exhales, or maybe there's some breath holds in there. Or you're doing like a technique for maybe 20 minutes at a time, right? And you're being guided through it. So whatever it is, it just gives you that point of focus. And it just is a lot easier for many people. And the research that I was alluding to came out of the Huberman Lab. So they did some research at Stanford comparing 5 minutes of meditation to 5 minutes of breath work with the technique called the physiological sigh. And so they compared, you know, how people's stress levels were like in that moment, but then also throughout the rest of the day. And people reported that they felt less stressed after doing the breathing technique. And it's not to say like breath work is better than meditation or anything like that. It's not a competition.
Right.
But there really is something there and the effectiveness and, you know, how, like I said before, we really have direct access to work with the nervous system with breathing.
Yeah, I love that. So if anyone listening feels like they could never get into meditation, they just can't make it happen, breath work.
Yeah.
Works just as well, better. That's really, really cool. And I also just think it's so helpful to just have more tools in the toolbox, you know, for how to feel better at any given point.
Sure. Yeah.
You know,
you can, you know, some days you might feel like you want to meditate, and then other days you might feel like you want to do breath work, or you can do both. Like it is so important to have just a set of tools that you can draw from. And then, you know, and then everyone's different too. So like some things might work better for some people than others. And so I also think a lot of this is about experimenting and trying different things and seeing what works for your body and what resonates for you. And then, you know, taking those practices and making them a part of your routine. So for whatever does work for you, like keep going.
Yeah, exactly. And also I think being open to the tools you use, adapting to where you are in your life and your needs and the time that you have to dedicate to them. Yeah. I think, you know, in the wellness space, it's just all these like really beautiful, like morning routine videos of matcha lattes and like, you know, like an hour of yoga and, you know, morning pages and the whole thing. And it's like, I think it creates this illusion that we have to have this like perfect, long, you know, routine every day. And it's just, we don't really need that. I mean, it's beautiful if we can pull that off, like props,
you know, we don't all have the luxury of time like that. So that's, I mean, another thing that I love about breath work is that most techniques you can do anywhere, anytime, and they're really accessible. So there's, you know, a technique I really love to do in the car. So, you know, you're driving, you're in traffic, or you're late for an appointment or whatever it is. Like there's this really nice balancing technique that is safe to do while you're driving. And so, you know, you can take advantage of that. And you can fit in, you know, little pockets of your day, you know, wherever you have the time, and you think of it. So it's, that's just another reason it's so great is you can make it work for you.
Yeah, kind of like stack it on things you're already doing, like you're already commuting. You know, you may as well, like there's nothing else you can do except, you know, be on the road. And I also, what I like about it too, is I think it's such an easy thing where if you need to just escape to the restroom for a little bit, you know, like I think so many people would find breathing exercises during things like the holidays, you know, where maybe they're visiting family that can be triggering and they can just, you know, remove themselves to the restroom for a little bit, do some breathing quickly, regulate themselves. You know, what a huge difference that could make. Like, obviously, you know, you can't change the people, but you can like, you know, set yourself up to not be as affected by it. Which that's a superpower, you know.
It is a superpower.
Yeah.
It's huge. And I think, you know, coming into that awareness, like I mentioned before with like triggers. So a great example is being around family around the holidays. Like how many times are you triggered by someone in your family that you don't see very often or a topic that gets brought up for discussion? Yeah. So I mean, you can even do it like while you're sitting there, while you're standing there, or you can just step into the other room and like take a breather.
Right. Literally. Yeah. Literally just take a breather.
Yeah. Totally shift how you're feeling and then how you deal with the situation and how you respond. I do this with my kids a lot, right? When things can get heated around, you know, I don't know, getting ready for dinner time or whatever it is. And just sometimes you need to step away and take a little bit of time for yourself, because we all know, you know, nothing good is going to come through when you're feeling frustrated and agitated. And you can just, you know, try to bring yourself, try to regulate yourself. And that is your superpower. That's something you have complete control over. We just have to kind of bring our mind to allow ourselves to like take that break, like take a second for you.
Right. And that's the thing, is allowing ourselves, right? I think so many moms out there, it's probably really nice, like helpful to hear and just be reminded that they can give themselves permission to do that, to step aside and regulate themselves. And it's such a great, I mean, it's such a great example, right, for kids as well, to see their parents regulate themselves, to see that, you know, it can be done. And
yeah, setting a really good example.
Yeah.
And it goes the other way too. Like, you know, maybe your parents are frustrating you. Your parents are triggering you, or, you know, a situation at work or at school. I mean, you can apply this anywhere.
Right.
Is taking that little time out for yourself.
Yeah. Like you were mentioning test anxiety, you know, just like being anxious for a test, you know, and how many people really struggle with that situation because they can know the material just fine. But,
you know, the pressure
to perform as soon as you, you know, completely understand that. So yeah, again, just kind of like coming back to how this like really can just ripple out into so many areas of life. And it's so simple because you don't need anything else but your body to do it, you know, and just like a couple moments to yourself.
It's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it really is. I wonder, like, would you be open with sharing just like a few of like, you know, if somebody's brand new to breath work and they've never really done it before, but they're interested in it, they know that there's something in it for them. Like, if you were to give somebody just like one or two entry level breathing techniques, like what, which ones would you choose?
Yeah, yes, I would love to share. I have a couple of go-tos that are really simple and really effective at the same time. So, I mentioned, you know, like in the car driving in traffic or whatever, you can do a balancing technique. So, so a balancing technique would be, you know, something that you can do anytime and anywhere. It's always safe. Helps you, you know, kind of come back into the present moment, balance your energy, ground your body. And the way we do that is actually by, we have an equal inhale and exhale. So like the ratios of our inhale and exhale. So we bring that into this equal kind of, again, back to balance, right?
Yeah.
So what this does with our nervous system is, it's adaptogenic. So if you're like upregulated or you're triggered, it brings you down. If you're already down, then it brings you up. So it just kind of brings you back into balance.
Yeah, it's like the master key to anything.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, totally.
Yeah.
So what I like to do is a four in, four out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can do this sitting up or standing. Again, you can really do it anywhere. Mm-hmm. But I would just have someone, you know, sit up nice and tall, have your shoulders kind of down, relax the face, relax the jaw. And then breathing in and out through the nose, you would slowly breathe into the count of four. So you inhale for like one, two, three, four, and then exhale, four, three, two, one.
And it's all through the nose, even the exhale.
All through the nose. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. For this technique, all through the nose. If someone is, you know, has a cold or congested or has allergies, you can do mouth breathing. Mm-hmm. Typically, this is a good one to do through the nose.
Yeah, if possible.
But if possible, yeah. So four in, four out, really simple. Mm-hmm. I would do that at least 10 rounds of that. So like an inhale and an exhale would be one round. So after 10 rounds, you'll already start to notice a difference.
Yeah.
If you can do it for like a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, it really is amazing how centered you feel after doing this technique. And so it's a big favorite of a lot of my clients. It's like their go-to.
Yeah. This is bringing up a lot of questions for me.
Okay, good.
I'm just realizing like what is it about the timing of the breath, of the breathing, and how, you know, different lengths of inhales, different lengths of hold, exhales, holding at the bottom, that kind of thing, and different combinations, like what's going on there? Like how are they changing our state?
Yeah.
Uniquely, yeah, for sure. Between each other.
Yeah. So if you think about when you're in a sympathetic nervous system state, so you're in fight or flight, and your breathing becomes fast and shallow. Okay.
Yeah.
So we can put ourselves into fight or flight by breathing that way. So making the breath faster and more shallow, we can go into fight or flight.
Oh.
Again, remember, it's not a bad thing
always,
but that is how we get energized. So if you are like tired and you want more energy, do a breathing technique that's going to make you breathe fast and shallow, because that mimics the breath, what the breath naturally does in that state. So then on the flip side, when you are feeling stressed and feeling symptoms of anxiety in your body and you want to calm that down, you do exactly the opposite. So when we're in rest and digest, we're recovering from fight or flight. So our breathing is slower and deeper, right?
Yeah.
So if we want to activate that state, we just have to mimic the breathing in that state. And we have to make it deeper, slower. With ratios, if you want to shift into parasympathetic state, the best way to do that is with an extended exhale. So you want to breathe out for longer than you're breathing in. So this is like the fastest way to signal to your brain that it's time to calm down. So like that ratio then would be inhale for four, exhale for eight. So you double the length of the exhale.
Yeah.
And really extend it. And again, like just 10 rounds of that can shift you pretty quickly.
What about like the holds? Because I know that some breathing techniques will require you to like hold for a certain period of time. Mm-hmm. What are the benefits of that? Because I know that, you know, there's one breath, I think it's I can't remember, but you hold for a period of time and the exhale is longer than the inhale. And it's meant to mimic how we breathe when we sleep. So it's kind of like the sleep breath. So is that just basically it? Like, would we do the holds more for when we're trying to get to like a really calm state? Or do they also play a role if we want to like activate ourselves a little bit?
Yeah, good questions. Really good questions. Yeah. That was the other go-to I was going to share. I think you're talking about 4-7-8 breathing.
Yes.
Yes. My other go-to and another favorite of my clients. So the breath hold helps reduce your heart rate. Mm-hmm. So when you're holding the breath, it lowers your blood pressure and lowers your heart rate. So it just like enhances the shift into parasympathetic mode.
Okay.
You can get the same effect by like the breath hold or not doing the breath hold. Mm-hmm. It's really going to be that extended exhale that, makes a big difference, but you can further reduce the heart rate and blood pressure by doing that breath hold. Holding also helps us increase our lung capacity. So that's another benefit, right? We can do that. So with the 4-7-8 breath, you would inhale for 4, hold for 7, and then exhale for 8.
Okay.
And so you mentioned sleep. That's a really good technique to do right before going to bed because it will make you so sleepy.
Really
works really well. And this is a technique I do. I either do 4-7-8 or 4-8 every night before I go to bed. It helps me fall asleep super fast. And then it can help you sleep with better quality sleep through the night. So like less waking through the night, and resting longer and better.
That's so good. I'm going to use that because I have an Oura ring. I've had it for a few months now, but it like really shows your sleep.
Get one. Yes.
Oh yeah. It's funny because I didn't, the sleep side of things and like the data on sleep is the most valuable part of it. And it's not even like the main reason why I got it. It's so detailed. And it's like, you learn what your chronotype is, like, you know, like when your midpoint of sleep should be in the middle of the night. It's really fascinating. And it's amazing how, you know, it'll show me like, it'll show you when you've hit your lowest heart rate in the night. And ideally that would happen within the first half of your sleep cycle. Like the first, you should hit your lowest heart rate and then it slowly will go back up. That's what's called the recovery index. And I'm no expert, but this is like what I've just like, you know, what I've been witnessing with my sleep patterns. And it's interesting how you really get very acutely like aware of how your habits in the evening affect your sleep.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, wow, screen time before bed absolutely affects my sleep. And I wasn't necessarily aware of that because I would still sleep through the night, but I'm not getting that restorative sleep.
Right. So have you been experimenting then? Like different routines at night and how that affects your sleep. That's the main reason I want to get one. Like I'm so curious to see, you know, like the current quality of my sleep, but then like, you know, making little micro adjustments or, you know, macro adjustments, like, you know, much bigger. Like how does that affect what kind of sleep you're getting?
Totally. Some of the things I've noticed, so one of the biggest things I do to benefit my sleep is I just read before bed from an actual book, not from a tablet, nothing that glows. My Kindle is okay. I've noticed that I can read from my Kindle, the Paperwhite kind, and it's fine. But I feel like that also turns my brain off from thinking about my life because I'm reading a book, I'm reading a novel, usually a story. And it just, I find it gets me so sleepy and I will see like the data the next day and it's like really, really strong, you know? And I'm like, oh my gosh, this really works. You know, I had already cut down my caffeine a lot over the past several years, but you know, even just a second cup of coffee, even if it's before noon, will affect my sleep. And that's where I'm starting to realize like, wow, I have like, I mean, I don't want to put this out into the universe, but in reality, like I feel like my constitution is a lot more fragile than I thought it was. Like it is affected, you know, by the things I do during the day. Like my sleep is impacted. And it's funny because, you know, as I've made these little adjustments, I'm finding my energy levels are so much more consistent throughout the day. You know, I don't have that like afternoon slump, you know, that also comes with just, you know, living balanced in other ways too, of course. But, my PMS isn't as bad because that's, you know, another thing that can impact our sleep is PMS. So it's kind of like, because I'm sleeping better, I don't have as bad PMS. And because I'm not PMSing as bad, my sleep is better. It's kind of this like funny thing I'm noticing, you know?
It's a loop.
It is.
And it's all connected.
Totally.
It's so fascinating.
It is.
So yeah, well, you'll have to try some breathing exercises before you go to bed and see, like, I'll be so curious how it affects your sleep and if you sleep, you know, better and longer.
Totally. Well, so to give a little bit more context, like the past, I just came out of like a very heightened period of stress in my life. And I kind of had a moment like you where I was like, I need to do something differently. And I made a lot of changes and I started to like really hone in the self-care even more than I already did. Cause I kind of thought that I was really good with self-care, but I needed more. Like it was, it hit a point. And I realized that I wasn't really breathing like ever. Mm-hmm. And I remember like
holding your breath.
Yeah, literally holding my breath. And it's funny because I have this oracle deck and I would draw oracle cards and they would always say, breathe, breathe, breathe. I was like, why don't we breathe?
So funny.
I know, it's so funny. You know, and it's funny because I remember just feeling one day like, wow, I just really realized like I'm not breathing, like I'm not taking breaths in. And so even just, I haven't been doing breath work as such, but just even like remembering to breathe, which sounds like such a crazy thing because obviously I was breathing enough to survive, but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't really taking deep breaths. And I think when we're stressed, we don't realize how much we're like holding our breath all the time.
Yeah. It's super common. I hear this a lot is, you know, throughout the day, especially when you're like really focusing on something or like reading email, we just hold our breath. But I think it's really indicative of being in a state of stress too. And it's like the chicken and the egg thing, right? When we're stressed, we breathe more shallow and faster, or we're holding our breath. But then also that kind of breath makes us stressed and anxious.
Yes.
So it can go both ways.
Yeah. It's like a negative spiral.
It is. It is. And so, like you said, I think having the awareness is the first step. It's like first you have to be aware that you're even doing this, that you're holding your breath. And that, like a lot of people out there are like, yeah, I hold my breath all the time. And so but the next step is doing something about it. So taking a second to like adjust your posture, like take a few deep breaths, fix it. So you know, like really draw some breath and oxygen like deep down into your lungs to kind of reset everything. And that's actually why a lot of us sigh when we're like frustrated or irritated or stressed about something, right? Like you hear people like, it's your body like trying to regulate itself. Like your body's so smart, it just does it instinctively. But it's trying to like get your nervous system shifted into a different state. It's trying to like get oxygen to your body and organs.
Wow. Yeah. It like takes over. If we're not doing it, it's like, I'm going to make this happen for us. That's so funny. Yeah. And it's interesting too, because what I thought or what I was considering not breathing was like, I was actually just breathing like really shallow into my chest. And so I just started to like focus on like bringing my breath like down into like the belly. It's kind of like an intuitive move, you know? So the same kind of breathing I would do while meditating, just breathing into the belly and kind of going lower and grounding myself, you know, that was, and I think even just doing that more throughout the day, just like remembering to breathe a little bit helped with my sleep, even though I wasn't doing, you know, breath work at night, like in an organ, in a structured way like that. So I can only imagine how just like adding in the 4-7-8 breath before bed would only just amplify that even more, especially after a stressful day. And I think so many of us work from home now with, you know, even post-pandemic, it's just the new way. And it's so much harder, I think, to shut down from work. You know, we don't have that commute in the car to like separate our work life from our home life. And it's like, you know, I think that bleeds into our evening routine, and just having those breathing exercises that we can do before bed to sort of really put a cap on the day and just, you know, like now it's time for sleep is so helpful.
It like helps, you know, routine in general helps your body kind of know like what's coming and what to expect or like what the next phase of the day is. And so I think, you know, having a technique you can do at night really helps. But just going back to what you said about, you know, when you were going through this heightened period of stress and you weren't doing any breath work per se, but you were just improving your breathing. So like that is so powerful, because breathing incorrectly can have so much effect on our wellness.
Yeah.
It's physical, mental, and emotional.
Yeah.
Just it's not even that you need to do a certain kind of breathwork practice. You really just need to breathe properly. And yeah. A lot of us are not.
No.
And then it sounds weird. Like, is there really a wrong or right way to breathe? There is. Mm-hmm. And if you're not even conscious of it, you know, how can you correct it? So it's right. important just to know, like, you know, I can give a few tips here too, is like nose breathing is super important. So like throughout the day to day, we want to be breathing through our nose because it humidifies the air. It filters mm-hmm. like viruses and bacteria before the air enters our lungs and our body. Mouth breathing is associated with like a lot of health issues, like right. it can lead to snoring in kids.
Sleep apnea.
Mm-hmm. In kids, it can actually affect the way the face grows and forms.
Wow.
And the way the palate forms. So anyway, like nose breathing is a huge one.
Yeah.
That, you know, needs to be what you're kind of doing every day. Mm-hmm. And then breathing deeply, right? So avoiding that shallow breathing. So we mm-hmm. should be breathing more into the belly.
Yeah.
And when we breathe in the belly, and you know, you can breathe into the chest too. Like when you're just sitting here, we're talking, or, you know, you're working on the computer, like you don't always have to be belly breathing, right? You feel it more into the chest, and that's a natural breath. Mm-hmm. But when you breathe in, you should feel chest and belly rising.
Yeah.
And then when you exhale, you should feel it fall. Some people have this backwards and will, when they breathe in, the belly sucks in. And when they breathe out, it goes out. And I think this stems from like, posture. And so people, you know, I think a lot of people tend to like kind of suck in the tummy when they're walking around. Like it's just a culture thing. Like we're always trying to,
right.
you know, suck our bellies in. And so that actually makes you breathe really poorly. So when you breathe in, it kind of just becomes backwards.
Yeah.
And so, this is really common, and it can take some work to reverse it and get it, you know,
wow.
going the right way. So you think about like when you breathe in and the air enters your nose, goes through your throat, down into the lungs. So the air is traveling down, right? And so you want to get the air deep down into the lungs
mm-hmm.
and engage the diaphragm. So the diaphragm is going to move to allow the lungs to expand.
Right.
So that's why our belly expands. It's why if you put your hands on your rib cage, you'd feel your rib cage expand
mm-hmm.
because that we're engaging the diaphragm. And then when you exhale, all that air is traveling back up and out. So the belly deflates.
Yeah.
So like physiologically, that's what's happening in your body. Mm-hmm. When you have that backwards, like nothing is going where it's supposed
yeah,
to.
Yeah. It's like completely off sync from where it's yeah. supposed to be. Yeah. It's interesting how, you know, like the belly thing, right? We just growing up in a culture where like flat belly was like the most valuable thing that we could have, right? Like aesthetically, it's the goal no matter what. And, you know, I think the breath, the fact that we can't maintain a flat stomach while breathing is just another indicator on top of the fact that our organs also make our belly protrude. And most of the time it has nothing to do with like anything else but that. So, you know, just the way that we resist our natural bodies is so interesting. So just another thing that just allowing, you know, just allowing our bodies to be what they are and not fighting against them is so powerful. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love all this. Honestly, I could like nerd out for such a long time with you, but, I was curious, you know, like if people want to learn more about you, like what are you up to right now? Like what are you working on? How can people find you?
Yeah, I'd love to share. So everything's on my website, www.havenbreathwork.com.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a few different kinds of offerings. I work a lot with one-on-one clients who want, you know, the handheld working through specific challenges, you know, a lot of time. And I specialize in working with people who are struggling with stress and anxiety, anxiety attacks, panic attacks. So I have like a couple of one-time sessions that are 1 hour. I have a 6-week program that really dives a lot deeper into not only breath work, but we do somatic techniques, mm-hmm. even some yoga, self-discovery through journaling and like inner child healing and things mm-hmm. like that. Something I'm really excited about actually is a new program that I'm launching very soon. That's called Deeply Replenished. Ooh. And this is a 6-week group program. So this is for people who want to learn, you know, these different somatic techniques, want to create a more consistent self-care routine, more focus on self-care, self-love, and nervous system care, mm-hmm. and do it in a group setting with others who are, you know, like-minded souls and, you know, maybe going through the same kinds of challenges. So I'm really excited about launching that. Yeah. And then I would say, like, anyone who's interested in just learning, like just getting started, like what's breath work all about? Like, this has piqued my interest. I want to get into the basics and learn how to start a breath work routine. I have a Breathwork Starter Kit, which is a mini online course that people can go through. And it's like pre-recorded videos and audios that you can take with you to practice anytime, anywhere. Oh. And then there's a 10-day challenge within that to help you build the routine and build the practice.
Yeah.
So that's been really good for, especially for people who are, you know, curious and just want to learn more and get started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the 10-day challenge piece too, because it does give structure. And I think when you're doing something new, having a structure to fall into really helps. Cause I know that when I'm trying to implement something new, sometimes you spend so much time analyzing how to go about it. It's mm-hmm. nice to just kind of be told like, do this in this order.
Yeah, do this.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I had such a fun time talking to you, Valerie. Thank you so much. I think that a lot of people are going to benefit from this, especially like those breathing techniques you shared. I think that they're so universal. I'm really excited. The next time I'm in traffic, I'm definitely doing that balancing one.
Yeah, I hope you do. You'll have to let me know.
I will. Yeah.
It's for you. And yeah. Thank you so much. This has been really fun to chat with you and, you know, just bounce off of each other and get some of this stuff out there, because I think it's so powerful and so, again, like so empowering to know that all of this is within you and accessible to you anytime, anywhere.
Yeah, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thanks, Valerie.
All right. Thank you, Emily.
Bye. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out with us and listening. If you found this episode helpful, please make sure to send it to a friend or a family member who also might enjoy it. And if you're listening on a platform that allows you to do so, thank you for leaving me a review or a star review. That's the most helpful way to support the podcast. And it definitely means so much to me to have that feedback from you guys. All right. And I will see you guys in a week. Bye.